This morning, my subject is an ancient one, the art of meditation. In the society in which we live today, it is a lost art. If somebody stops to think about anything, they're liable to get run over and killed. The idea of finding time to deeply explore the truth of God, meditate upon its rich meaning, digest and absorb the blessing that is there. We think back to times of the Puritans and the early fathers that had that kind of time at their disposal. Nowadays, you stop to think anywhere, you'll get run over. In the average home, there's not only conversation going on, there's radio that's blaring, there's a TV set that's on, the internet is going. If you pause to stop anywhere, you get run over. Now, we are considerably the worse because of this. It's good for people to stop and think and ponder the things of God, the answers to prayer, the fact that He is present with us now. These are wonderful things to think about. And very few believers ever pause to think. They just keep running. In Genesis chapter 24, there's an interesting scene concerning Isaac. In chapter 24 and verse 63, it says that Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. All right, he had been busy with the animals, the farming. All day long he had worked. And in the evening, he went out to the field. We would think back to that scene and think, well, boy, just the animals around there. Not very many people. There's plenty of time to meditate, isn't there? But he felt the need to withdraw even from the tent, even from the small group of people that were there, to get out in the field and meditate about the things of God. I wonder what he would have thought could he have lived today. But he did meditate. And as he meditated, behold, the camels were coming. The answer to his prayers was arriving. And he was there to see it. What a blessing. What a great spiritual benefit for him. There always is spiritual benefit in meditation. What is meditation? Well, Zondervan Pictorial Encyclopedia of the Bible defines it as a most rewarding act of worship, of spiritual renewal, of mortal refreshing, and of divine communion. Great definition. There are tremendous benefits in meditation, especially upon Scripture and the nature of God. And theoretically, we all know this. This is not news to anybody. But the practice of it is extremely rare. In our society, it is not designed for meditation. It is organized for distraction. On a multitude of levels, everywhere you turn, it is designed to capture your attention and keep it away from God and His Word. I call that diabolical. You say, well, it's just modern life. Yes, both are true. Modern life is largely organized by the devil. It is his people who are largely running the media, who are largely organizing society, keeping it going, and keeping a constant drumbeat of the world, so that people will not meditate upon God and His Word. It's not accidental. It is especially designed, custom made, to keep mankind from thinking of God. Now in Scripture, we have a good bit to look at on the theme of meditation. In Joshua chapter 1, a very famous verse, a command from God in verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." All right, there's a divine command. It wasn't left up to his discretion. It wasn't something that he was supposed to stumble across or discover. He had orders. And this verse is still sitting there. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." Why does he say that? Because in the ancient world, they did not have such a pressure on sight reading. When they read something, they read it out loud. It was not done hurriedly, just flicking the eyes over the page to see how fast you can go. It was spoken, read aloud so that one could savor the meaning and meditate upon the thought that is involved. So, you'll not let the law to depart out of thy mouth, but shall meditate therein day and night. Well, now, nighttime, we need sleep. Yes, and one of the blessed ways of finding sleep is to quote Scripture to yourself and meditate upon it until you finally doze off in peaceful, restful sleep. Very few people try that. They're thinking about what happened during the day, thinking about tasks they didn't finish, thinking about things that are coming tomorrow, thinking about long-term things that are crowding up upon them and just crouching in ambush waiting for them. Who has time to meditate on the things of God? Repeat Scripture and let the mind dwell upon precious verses till the marrow is rich within us. Who's doing all this? Very few people. In Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Boy, there it is. Here's the man who's blessed. He's not the man who is up on every financial and political deed that's going on. He's not the man that is aware of all the philosophic and scientific theories that are flying around the world. He's the man who delights in the law of the Lord. He delights in thinking about what this book writes. He's meditating on it by day and by night, letting his mind dwell upon the sweet content of this book, drinking deep from the waters of life that flow in it. Blessed. That should make us consider, are we missing a blessing? Is there something that God has for us that we are not getting because we are filling our mind with junk? I use the word advisedly. Material that is in the long term worthless. Facts that we will never use. Events in the modern world that really make no difference in our life. But all of this is important. And here we are reading news magazines, listening to the news. What's happening? More of the same. Sin, violence, political upheaval, So what's new? Friends, we have in Scripture the means of tremendous internal peace, internal joy, internal satisfaction. And all those are kind of rare because we're not drinking at the wells of living water. We're letting our minds run in tracks that the world marks out before us. You've got to know this, and you've got to know that. Something has happened over there on the far side of the world. And for a good bit of that, it doesn't make a bit of difference whether we learn about it or not. There's nothing we can do about it. But Scripture is something inside that we can think about anytime, all day long. All of us have some verses in our minds. Some of you folks have quite a variety of verses that you have memorized carefully. I won't ask when's the last time you went through all those verses. We tend to think in terms of the busyness of our society, the need to get this done and that done and the other thing done. We've got a definite schedule. We keep trotting along trying to get everything done. And thinking, well, the person who stops to think is going to get run over. Because everybody's doing the same thing. They're all running. They're all getting this job done and that job done and getting prepared for the next one. And so it's life. And the idea of Isaac getting away from his little gathering of people out onto the field where there's absolutely nobody around, so he could meditate. That is a lost art. But Scripture talks about it. In Psalm 63, there is soul satisfaction when I meditate on thee in the night watches. Psalm 63, 5 and following. Meditating upon God in the night watches. For many people, they're thinking about what they've got to do the next day. They're thinking about things that they haven't done today. And sleep sometimes flees from you. But here, to the psalmist, it's a wonderful thought. Soul satisfaction in meditating on thee, that personal relationship with God in the night watches. For most people, if they lie awake for 15 minutes, they're thinking, well, I'll go to the medicine cabinet and get a sleeping pill and shut it off somehow. But sometimes we're awake because God has a few things to say to us. And if we would think about it a little bit and start quoting some scripture to ourselves, there might be beautiful, pleasant meditation on the things of God that would lead to a peaceful night's sleep anyway. We all know this. I mean, this is not news to anybody. You've all had the experience of thinking about God, quoting to yourself some verses from Scripture, and dozing off into a peaceful sleep, refreshed in the morning. That's wonderful, and it's also rare. Well, the psalmist has more to say about this. In Psalm 119:2, we have the resolve of the psalmist. The blessed man has his delight in the law of the Lord. And in verse 15, in his law doth he meditate day and night, and vows, verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts. So here he is thinking very definitely about a spiritual responsibility. It's a wonderful thing to meditate in the law of the Lord, and to do it systematically by day and by night. It's not something you do once and shrug off as enough for one day. Meditating in his precepts is something that ought to be part of us all day long, all night long, every time we wake up at night. Think about scripture. Quote a verse to yourself. It's peaceful. It's serene. And for most of us, we're thinking about things we haven't done yet, worrying about getting this done, that done, seeing about what this person wants or that person wants. And where's the peace? But in Scripture, there's great peace. Because this is God's holy word. This is what he has given us to change us inside from a worrying, overly busy person into someone who is serene, at peace with God, with his word, with himself, and with others, because God's word fills his mind and crowds out everything else. That's what the psalmist is thinking of. And that's not usually what we're thinking of. We're thinking of, well, we need to read the scriptures today, you know, get to the right passage and read. There's a verse that we're trying to memorize, run through the verse, you know, things like this. But just to let the mind dwell in meditation on the greatness of Scripture, on the goodness of God, on the wonderful promises that there is in Scripture. Ah, there's honey in the rock there. And we're too busy to sample it. In verse 23, Psalm 119, princes did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Yes, he had people of power and authority who were out to get him. They were trying to malign him, slander him, and that can produce worry in anybody. But thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. And all of a sudden, those authorities were not that intimidating. They were merely people. But God now has promises. God has assurances that transcend anything that mankind can deliver. And the psalmist was at peace, thinking about the things of God, even though there were adversaries. Good example. In verse 48, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Now here he is moved to prayer, addressing God, praying to him. The flames of love for God flaming up within his heart as the word catches fire in his soul. And he starts thinking of the things of God and the blessings of God and the answers to prayer, the encouragement that he has in Scripture. Ah, yes, I will meditate in thy statutes. That's his resolve. He got a blessing out of it. It was rich in his soul. He'd like to share it with others. We all need that blessing. In verse 78, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. There's the balm that heals the wounds. Yes, he's encountered enemies. Yes, he's found out they have sharp tongues. Yes, he's bleeding, spiritually speaking, from the attacks of enemies. But he's thinking about God's word. I will meditate in thy precepts. And as he does so, the healing balm of God's presence is there. And the sharp words of enemies are forgotten. And the pain that they can inflict is gone. And God's presence is there. And his word restores the soul, and strengthens inside what we desperately need to have strengthened. Our relationship with God, our faith in God, our trust in His holy word. It's there as we repeat the blessed words of Scripture and let them impart the peace of mind and the calm serenity that comes from the presence of God and thinking over His blessed words. We need that. In verse 148, mine eyes prevent, that is, anticipate, the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Here he is anticipating, meditating upon God's word. As he lies down to sleep, it isn't with the thought of, oh, I've got to get this done tomorrow. Oh, I've got this agenda to follow. No, he's thinking about God and how pleasant it is, anticipating, meditating upon His word, resting in His presence, and yes, finding a good night's sleep in peace and serenity because God is there. Friends, too often we take our troubles to bed with us, and we're thinking over this, that, the other, gnashing our teeth over things that we can't do anything about, regretful because of things we haven't done, or some things we may have done. And all of that disappears in the presence of God, where we think of Him and think of His word, and find that refreshment of the powerful word that assures us of the presence of God, His love, His wisdom, His ability to accomplish His will through feeble vessels such as we are. How encouraging that is as we think of the grace and love and mercy of a good God spelled out for us in the Holy Word. In verse 97, he exclaims, oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Yes, he loves God's word. He's thinking about it all day long. That's his zealous desire. Well, now, many of us can say, yes, we love God's word. It's a wonderful gift from God. But we don't add to that, it is my meditation all the day. The little bit that we do in God's word, it is a blessing. It is refreshing. It's a wonderful thing. Far too many of us pray to God and hang up. We read a little bit in God's word, close the book. And we don't take with us the word. You don't have to have it open in front of you to think of nice verses that you have learned, or some that you may be working on and perhaps can repeat again to remind yourself of the treasure that is there. And then to start praying about that, thanking God for giving you such spiritual help in this book, thanking God for the privilege of having an inspired word to instruct and encourage and comfort. A lot that's in Scripture that we haven't thanked God for, and we ought to. And while we're busy, while we're doing other things, we can pause and in ejaculatory prayer say, thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for that word. Thank you, Lord, for this verse that's such a comfort. The conversation can continue. It doesn't have to stop. Far too often, we get busy and hang up. Usually, we regret it. Meditation requires discipline. It's a form of thought control. It's not something that happens just by accident. There's deep personal resolve behind that. If you're going to think about something in God's word, You're going to learn it carefully, memorize it. You're going to spell it out for yourself. I will repeat this. I will think about this. And oh yes, the busy details of life will come. There's no question about it. But as soon as there's a breath, thank you, Lord. Here's this verse again, and repeat it. And come back again and repeat it again. It's a determined, dedicated purpose in life that we shall live our days hearing God's word. It can be done. But for most Christians, they're not trying that at all. Their hope is to end the day with a few verses from the Bible and go to sleep. And let's face it, we can all be tired. No question about that. But there is something refreshing about God's holy word. Encouraging. Strengthening. And you are not the worse for thinking about God's word. You aren't more tired after that than you were before. There's something restful about the power of this book to strengthen us inside, to give us peace of mind, to help us to have faith, to trust in Him, to walk humbly with Him, sometimes in difficult pathways. But the Word was given to provide that kind of help. This book is not in our hands just because we need something to carry around. It needs to be in our hearts so that it's something we think about, actively quote to ourselves, determinedly live by. This book is a sword. The sword of the Spirit that can pierce the devil's temptations, that can pierce the world's lies, that can pierce our own heavy-heartedness. It can set us free from these things as we think about the precious truths in this book and go over them. In the midst of what we are doing, one of the earliest memories of my life is the memory of hearing my mother in the kitchen doing the dishes and singing hymns and quoting scripture to herself as she was doing housework. That is stuck in my memory all these years. She knew the benefit of God's word. She knew the power of the word to cheer and encourage while doing what most people would classify as drudgery. I've never forgotten that testimony. Friends, we need to remember that God's word is powerful in the midst of hard work, in the midst of dull conditions. The word cheers, the word encourages, the word puts joy in our hearts over God's precious promises. It is something worth meditating on. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul touches on this. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. He says to his young lieutenant in the faith, "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in so doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Now, here's an encouragement, a word of admonition from the old veteran to a young man in the faith. He gives him orders. Meditate upon these spiritual truths that Paul has been teaching in Timothy. Think about these things. Let your mind dwell upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them. It's not give yourself wholly to making money. or having a good time, or being known in the community, or any other of a multitude of things that could be done. Meditate upon these things in Scripture. These verses that are so powerful, give thyself wholly to them, that there may be spiritual profit in your life. Now, you can think about ways and means of making money, getting ahead in the world, and some of those can bear fruit for you. But we have a much more important task. We have the task of pleasing the ruler of the universe, who has given us a whole book of suggestions and outright commands on how to do this. And we tend to relegate that to a few minutes late in the day, rather than something we're thinking about all day long, every day. You say, well, you don't know the kind of job I have. Oh, I know plenty about jobs that demand concentration. But friends, in the midst of all of that, God is there listening. And you can pray anytime, in the midst of any circumstance. You can quote Scripture to yourself anywhere, anytime. Nobody else needs to know. You don't have to do it out loud. But it's there. And there's a calming effect about that Scripture that makes the chaos around you less important. Thinking of God's holy word, His eternal purpose for you, it's a very important part of your life. Paul understood that and knows exactly what he's talking about. Paul had about as busy a ministry as anybody in the first century. The long journeys, the preaching, the witnessing, the attacks of his foes, you know. He's not living in an ivory tower. It was the very nasty now and now that he was living in. When we think of 1 Timothy, that's one of the prison epistles. That was not nice to go through. But he was thinking about God. He was quoting his word to himself. He was meditating on the things of God. And lo and behold, there were chances to talk to the prisoners about the Lord. The guards even would stop and listen. He had an outreach there in the midst of what we would regard as terrible conditions. Now, if that was the Mamertine prison that he was in, I've been in that place. That is a miserable hole in the ground. If he is writing all this from such a place, he had a lot of the grace of God resting upon him. None of us would care to change places with him. But he was filled with the thought of God. He was rejoicing in the blessing of God, the opportunity of talking to prisoners about the Lord, guards who might be there. There were even some Christians that might come to visit him, and he could be a blessing to them. Friends, we drop the ball all the time. We get so involved about things we forget how powerful the Word is, what it can do in us and through us for others, to encourage them and strengthen them. But Paul understood that very clearly. The encyclopedia says, the glorious splendor of God's majesty, along with His wondrous works, is the content of our meditation. That's a beautiful thought. The glorious splendor of God's majesty, along with His wondrous works, is our content. When you start thinking about how great God is, naming the attributes of God, His love, His holiness, the splendor of His majesty, you know, the thoughts are lifted up to another realm. When you start thinking about His love, His goodness to His people, His mercy in giving us a holy word that would shape our thoughts and direct our pathway and lead us down a pathway that leads to Him. When we think of these things, how wonderful life is, how blessed we are to have such opportunities. Friends, let's not drop the ball on this important thing. The art of meditation is a lost art in our day. People are thinking about how to get rich, how to have more fun, how to take advantage of opportunities. And all of these things will perish without a trace. But when you think about God, when you think about His holy word, you found something that is not going to perish. It is not going to disappear. A million years from now, you will know verses of Scripture and be thankful that you do. And you will be able to praise God, thinking back over a long, long time of how He has fulfilled His promises and blessed you through His word. And it will keep getting richer in eternity to come. It will never cease. This book is an eternal book. It's inscribed in our hearts. And if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're going to live forever. And you're going to quote these verses to yourself forever. They're His blessing, His love letter to you. And you will always cherish that book. Let's begin now. Let's hide it in our hearts now. Let's think about it now. Let's thank Him for it now. It's a tremendous gift that we take for granted. We need to take it and put it in our hearts and use it. It's the sword of the Spirit. It can pierce defeat. It can slay despondency. It can break the shackles of sin and set us free. Free to think about God, to quote His words, to find satisfaction in His presence as we go through His love letter to us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment, is there something in your heart that you need to put in the hands of God and ask Him to cause you to think about His holy word, to meditate upon it, to hide it in the heart, to let it control and direct your path? O Lord, forgive us that we are so busy about things that we have no time to think of Thee. Forgive us. By Thy grace, help us to hide this holy word in our hearts, to think about it, to let our minds dwell upon the precious treasures that are there. Help us to understand this blessed book and to see it as the sword of the Spirit that Thy Holy Spirit uses to crush the attacks of the devil, the slanders of the world, the disappointments of life. By Thy grace, help us to use it to fill our minds with thoughts of Thee and Thy love and Thy compassionate care for Thy people. Help us, Lord, to walk with Thee day by day, thinking of Thee, quoting Thy word, meditating upon this blessed book, and by Thy grace, transform us, Lord, from worrying, busy individuals to saints who think of Thee and who walk with Thee and who talk with Thee, dwelling upon the holy promises of this book. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.